Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. As you just heard during the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
Moments ago, the Boston Bruins had themselves quite a night last night. A little disappointing, a little frustrating. For those of you who did not tune into the game because you were at Raw, at least two of the people in this room.
I know.
Oh, no, you're busy. You were doing stuff. I would have been with you if I weren't watching a hockey game.
We were keeping up to date with what was going on.
And we appreciated
you.
Yes. So the Bruins, they're trailing 1-0 last night at the end of the first period. 2-1, excuse me. They're trailing 2-1, and you're thinking, this is not going to go well. Then they come out in the second period, score three unanswered goals, look great.
Including Charlie Coyle, who we were talking about yesterday.
Very nice
hands. Could use a little something more out of him, and so that was obviously a big goal.
So Brandon Carlo scores a goal. I mean, you're going to the third period in Tampa, up 4-2 against the best team in hockey, the Golden State Warriors of hockey, and you're feeling real good about yourself.
Sure.
And then the wheels fell off the wagon.
They did.
The Bruins got caught a couple of times being way too aggressive. This was not lack of effort. This was too much effort. And here's the problem.
Which the Celtics never have that problem, by the way. Yeah. The too much effort.
Here's the problem. Do less.
Is that what it was?
For people who don't know, the Bruins have three defensemen out of the lineup right now. Torrey Krug, Matt Grizzlick, and Kevin Miller. So they've been kind of piecing it together, doing the best they can. And then about 4 minutes, 6 minutes into the first period, John Moore goes out. He gets injured. He's done for the night. So now you're down to five defensemen. You had a shift in the second period where the Bruins couldn't get out of their own end. And literally, Brandon Carlo and I think Connor Clifton played a 3 minute and 16 second shift. So now they get exhausted.
Right.
Now as the game goes on, the Bruins have to kill off six consecutive power play tries against. Again, they get exhausted. So you got a two-goal lead. You're in Tampa. Your defense is depleted. You got guys who've played too many minutes. Connor Clifton should not be playing 20-some-odd minutes in a hockey game, but he is. And then they do dumb stuff. Charlie McAvoy, tries to aggressively. They got a good opportunity, a good scoring chance. Odd man rush. He busts in to help support and gets burned back the other way they go. Hedman scores, ties the game. I mean, not lack of effort.
Yeah.
Too much effort. And know when to do stuff and know when to back off and try to play defense.
Yeah, because McAvoy was on the ice for all three of the goals in the third period. Is that right? And so, and he ended up playing close to 27 minutes. Carlo played 27 minutes, and that obviously with the Moore injury. But you saw a lot of those guys. I think what you also saw was just, I mean, you already knew how good Tampa was.
They're really good.
And they're loaded, too. And like they just have multiple lines and multiple pairings that are just dominant across the board. So,
but if you play smart, you win the game last night.
No, true.
You really do. If you don't do dumb stuff, and I'm not picking just on Charlie McAvoy, Brandon Carlo admitted, after he scored a goal, he got too aggressive. He got too carried away with himself. He got caught a couple of times as well. Usually this is a pretty smart hockey team. Last night in the third period, they were a fairly dumb hockey team.
Yeah, and they didn't put a ton of shots on goal either. I know they ended up with four goals. What was it, 17 shots or something?
18, I think. Or yeah, whatever it was.
That they put up there. Who has that advantage in goal? Like, if this series ends up happening, if it's Tampa versus Boston, Vasilevskiy versus Rask.
Well, Vasilevskiy will probably win the Vezina.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that he's necessarily the best goaltender in the league.
No, it helps when your team
is playing
so
on this team that, first in the power play, first in penalty kill, first in goals for, fifth in goals against. They're a powerhouse.
Right.
And last night, he wasn't very good either.
No, that's what I was saying.
Now, post-game, and I'm on social media and reading some of this stuff, and there were folks who, as always, if they lose a game, it immediately goes back to the goaltending.
It's kind of lazy.
I don't know how you could watch that game and watch how the Bruins played defensively in the third period and blame your goaltending. The game-winning goal by Cirelli was a one-timer from about 15 feet away.
Yeah. No, I know. Because I think that had more to do with the breakdowns in front of them. right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
That's the way I looked at it. Tuukka Rask talked about it a little bit. And I don't know if this is blaming the guys in front of him or not, but let me know what you think of this.
A couple of admin rushes, and, you know, it's a tie game. So it's just one of those games that, you know, like, you let your guard down for a second, they're definitely going to take advantage of that. So that's it.
Is that him saying, you know, he let his guard down, or is that him kind of putting it on the other guys to allow the odd man rushes?
I think without saying it, you know, he doesn't cause the odd man rushes.
Of course not.
You know, and look, the guys who did took complete,
they know it. They
complete
know it.
Acknowledge,
they wore it, yeah.
I mean, Bruce Cassidy after the game said it. The team's pretty good. You know, they're really good. Mm-hmm. And they played a really good game through two periods. They just vapor locked in the third period and did not defend a 2-goal lead on the road. Now, when the Bruins beat Tampa Bay here a couple of weeks ago, beat them 4-1, everybody's talking about, well, Tampa Bay was playing their third game in four nights, second game
Cassidy
of back-to-backs.
And that's
valid.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bruins played last night without three of their six defensemen, then lost another one
right.
6 minutes in, you know, still without Marcus Johansson, who I think will be back tomorrow night. I'm not making that excuse. What I'm saying is the people who wanted to make the excuse for Tampa Bay a few weeks ago instead want to say, what's wrong with the
what's
Bruins? How do they kick that thing away?
Well, just I mean, you allow three
goals
in the third.
It was really frustrating.
It's just, that's what's frustrating. You have a 2-goal lead on the road like that. Now, when those three defensemen get back, who are the three that are going to come out? I mean, obviously Clifton and Kampfer, but other than that.
And more, probably.
You think? Okay. All right.
I mean, that would be my guess.
Yeah.
All indications are that Torrey Krug and Marcus Johansson will play tomorrow night. Bruins are at home against the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're back. What the Bruins have done is they've been getting guys back into the lineup. It's like they've added a day to it. You know,
Jake
DeBrusk thought he was going to play in Winnipeg.
Right.
And they said, nope, you're going to wait one more day. And then they played him Saturday at home. David Pastrnak thought he was ready to play. And they said, no, you're going to wait one more game. And then they put him back in. I think that's what they did with Johansson, who all indications are he was ready to go last night.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're just going to wait one more day.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Now, Toronto beat Florida last night, so Toronto gained some ground.
5 points back now, 6 games to go.
Still a good lead, but
what it means is that any combination of 8 points that the Bruins gain or Toronto loses clinches home ice for the Bruins.
I mean, so it's not... I mean, I feel like the Bruins are going to be the 2 seed, but it's not... I mean, it's still a possibility. Like,
yeah, Toronto's it's kind of a slim there. Possibility, but right. it there is still some possibility.
And because Toronto would obviously have to get real hot too, because they've been playing kind of 500 hockey recently. Like they won last night, but I think they had lost a couple games prior to that. So it's not like they're really coming on strong. You know, like what was it, Ottawa a couple years ago that just couldn't lose, or like it's not an example of that.
No, they had a very good road trip. They won 3 out of the 4 games on the road trip. They should have won 4 out of 4 if they'd been a little smarter about how they played the game last night.
Right.
They probably would have won 4 out of 4 games on the road trip. I don't want to make this sound like this was some major stumbling block for the Bruins. Oh, now they've tripped up. Now they've screwed it all up. I mean, let's not go crazy here.
Well, the truth is, if they beat Tampa, if they beat Tampa last night, you would have felt good about it. But it wouldn't have made them the favorite in the series if they play them in the second round. Tampa's still the better team, and it's going to be like, all right. When you look at every other team in the Eastern Conference, though, if anybody is going to knock off Tampa, you feel like Boston is just as good, if not the best chance of doing it.
Glenn and I were having this discussion as the two shows were kind of passing in the hallway here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn was saying, you know, one of the big differences between watching the Celtics play and watching the Bruins play right now.
There's a lot.
you never question the effort of the Bruins.
No.
You always say, you know, they go out there and they bust their ass, and sometimes they don't win, and sometimes they do stuff that's not very smart, but it's not like you thought, well, they just sort of went through the motions there in the third period.
No.
It was just the opposite. They were trying so hard to get that next goal, which was going to put the stake in the heart, that they got themselves caught, they got themselves out of position, and against a great team like Tampa Bay, you're going to get burned when that happens.
No, they try hard. They have good team chemistry. They have kind of set defined roles, I would say, to like guys sort of know what they are. And, you know, even David Backes is a guy who sort of changed his role a little bit, but even he has started to find the scoring a little bit more.
He scored points in 3 straight games now for the first time this season.
So because he has to know that, well, wait a minute, when these guys all get healthy, am I going to be in the lineup? Like, right? I mean, because they haven't had a full team, especially since the trade deadline, since the addition of Johansson and Coyle, we don't really know what the full roster would look like. We don't know what Bruce Cassidy would decide, who are going to be the guys that are active and who are some of the guys that are going to have to be a scratch. So he's going to have to play his way onto the playoff roster.
The Bruins are getting healthy at the right time. They're good. The fact that they lost to the best team in hockey by a goal last night on the road is not, I don't want to over-exaggerate this thing. It's not right. Like, okay, well, now we found out who they really are. That's not what happened.
No.
It's just frustrating because you could have.
Because it was right there. Yeah, you had the 4-2 lead and you let that thing slip away. And so, with them throughout the year, it's, all right, monitoring the injuries. How long are these guys going to be out? They had a really good record without Pasternak. All right, now he's back. You made the addition for Johansson. Unfortunately, he went down, but he's going to be back soon. Krug and Grizzlick and trying to balance, your best pairings and everything else. You're waiting for all those guys. And so, but it's funny, they don't use that as an excuse. Whereas Kyrie Irving the other night, hey, he lost to Charlotte. He's like, yeah, well, we don't have our full squad. Like, what? You haven't had your full squad all season. You're never going to have your full squad.
No.
That's the nature of professional sports. Guys are hurt all the time. And you don't see, Patrice Bergeron after the game saying, did you guys notice we were missing three defensemen? Like, no. You play with the guys that are healthy and who are out there because guess what? Come playoff time, you're not going to be able to snap your fingers and say, all right, we're all healthy now and there's no more injuries.
Good to go now.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I it was frustrating because it was there, but it wasn't devastating. You didn't come out of that game going, oh my God, they can't play with that team. They can play with that team.
No, they can.
And they're the best team in the league. I mean, far and away.
Yeah.
Nobody's trying to make any other case than that. If the Bruins did get by Toronto and did play Tampa Bay in the second round, Tampa Bay would be the prohibitive favorite, and they should be.
Right.
But it's not like you say, well, they can't play with that team. They don't have a chance.
But don't you get the sense, and maybe this is sort of a homer take, but I get the sense that this series would be more competitive than last year's series.
Oh, I feel that. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they lost in
as
five.
As great as Tampa Bay is, I feel that.
But not only did they lose in five, but they got smashed. They won the first game, and then it was, okay, you weren't really in that series anymore, where you thought after game one, you're like, well, wait a minute, they might really have something here, and then any kind of hope disappeared pretty quick. It seems like it would be a much more competitive.
617-779-7937. Matt is up in Maine. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's going on?
All right, so you take away from this game from Tampa Bay, that was a great game. Oh, man, it was great. Raf, I had a buddy tell me that last goal was his fault, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Not a chance.
60 feet away with a one-timer. It's almost on him if he misses that, in a sense. But I feel like the McAvoy, they got a little caught up in the action. They're playing Tampa Bay. They're away. They're up 4-2. Kind of got the mentality of, oh, no, we need to score again and put the dagger in the eye. But in theory, it's kind of their youth showing, but I feel like they can, take that and use it for the playoffs.
Yeah, in some respects, I'm not trying to say, oh, well, that's good for them. There was a learning moment that took place last night.
Yeah.
And listening to the players after the game, they know what happened. They understand where the mistakes were made. And, young guys like McAvoy, like Carlo, they're smart enough to know, I didn't play that right. I got to think a little more in those circumstances.
Right.
Especially on a night when the minutes on your defense had piled up so dramatically.
Right.
You can't get caught being too aggressive. You have to defend the house in the third period. And they just didn't.
And you'd have to think this is going to be the last time. I know they play Tampa one more time, but it's the last game of the season. You would think both teams would kind of look a lot different.
Well, and unfortunately, you can't have nine guys up from Providence.
No, it's
right?
It's not baseball.
There's
I'm
a limit to, but you're. I don't think you'll
Kucherov,
see
Kucherov, Stamkos, those guys. You could sit.
Well, we had
to.
This discussion off the air last night, and I think he's going to get there anyway because Brad Marchand has 94 points right now.
Oh,
but it means a lot.
Yeah, 100 points.
If he has 99 points going into the last game, do you play him? Because he's a guy who could use a night off.
No, I wouldn't.
You could.
I got to be consistent because I thought the Chris Sale 300 strikeouts was dumb, and I thought that kind of came back to bite him. So I know it's just one game, but there's no guarantee he scores a point. And especially if the two seed is locked up. If you're playing for the two seed.
Yeah, we're assuming under the circumstances here, Tampa's already locked into the one. You're locked into the two. You know what's going on.
I'd probably give him the day off.
He's sitting there with 99 points. Now, I guarantee he's lobbying hard to play.
Yeah.
But do you play him?
No, because it's not like baseball where you know, if you put a guy out there, he needs one hit for, you know, whatever, and he gets the hit, then he can take him out of the game. You know, once you dress your guys in hockey, it's a disservice.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, now you're done. Like, you can't do that. So I probably wouldn't.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It is Tuesday. That means Kiefer Madness is coming up.
Big Madness.
Will
today.
It involve poop?
No, but it's local.
Ooh.
The local madness.
A local madness.
Local madness. We're not going to Florida for this one.
Usually we could go to Florida pretty much every time for it. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fired Michael Bennett this offseason. What do you like about Bennett?
I think he'll help our team. How so? Well, we'll see. Get out there and practice and put everybody out there and see how it goes.
He's back!
But he gives you so much. You know, you love the insight.
So today is the annual coach's breakfast. And you've seen the video in the past. I think Jeff Howe took the original meme photo.
It was Jeff Howe did the orange juice photo.
The orange juice photo where Belichick was sitting at the table sipping the orange juice.
I mean, if he could have found a way to monetize that.
He'd be retired right now.
He could have. I mean, everybody used it.
So there was a photo I saw of Belichick going over to Brian Flores' table, and Brian's sitting there, and Belichick shaking his hand.
Yes.
But Bill Belichick is not sitting at your damn table today.
No, he's not.
He's standing.
He's got his own thing, yeah.
And giving nothing.
Classic Belichick.
It is one same monotone guy. Answer after another.
There's like the TMZ reporters.
Listen real quick?
Should we jump in real quick?
Let's dive in.
How can you just characterize his rise and what impressed you along the way in his development?
Yeah, he did a great job for me. I mean, I'm on the record a lot him, and I have a ton of respect for him. So, all that's out there, nothing's changed.
Talking about Brian Flores there. That's as effusive as he's been.
He's obviously played a lot of snaps for you now that he's in Detroit.
Yeah, Trey's a great player and got a great opportunity in Detroit, so it's free agency.
Well, that's free agency. That's free agency for you, Dale. Now, I don't know if we have where he said it, but somebody asked him about Gronk. Oh, yeah, so Burt Breer says, so he sort of paints the picture. He says, he stopped by Matt Patricia, Bill O'Brien, Brian Flores, talked to all three of those guys real quickly, and then he was asked whether he saw Gronk's retirement coming. He said, quote, off-season's off-season.
Okay.
Is that a new shirt? Is that the new motto, maybe? Off-season's off-season. He's not wrong about that. The off-season is always the off-season.
He's correct.
Things happen.
He was asked if he planned on having Josh Gordon this season, quote, I don't know. His status isn't under our control.
That's also true.
It's also true.
Where's the lie in any of this?
No, I didn't say he was lying.
He doesn't always give you a lot, but what he does give you is true. So the offseason is, in fact, the offseason. Now, Rossi, I don't know how much you've been able to listen to. Was there any Kraft questions in there to Belichick?
Not one single Kraft question.
That's surprising.
That is a bit surprising.
Now, we know what the answer is going to be, but still, the question should at least be asked. But I'm surprised. So it's been all about Flores, Trey Flowers, Michael Bennett, Gronk. These are the ones that we've heard of so far. I'm a little shocked that he didn't get a Kraft question yet.
He was, and I don't know why. He's behind where his table would have been, but he's not sitting. No, I'm not sitting. I'm going to stand right here.
People can sneak up on you when you're sitting.
Well, he's got the wall behind him, but no, he's not sitting.
Yeah, like the Godfather, you always want your back to the wall so you can see where people are approaching you from. So that's smart. Maybe he feels like a little bit. He's got more energy standing, as you can tell.
On track right now.
He was talking about Gostkowski.
That was Gostkowski. So.
Would you like him back?
Again, he's not back until the person's under contract. So, see what happens.
He goes, "Would you like him back?" And he goes, "Well, he's not back until he's under contract." Oh, it's tough. It's not easy. We've been there, Dale.
Oh, yes.
Some of those days. So we can relate to those people asking him the questions.
By the way, this is after he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, he seems
You'd
like a
think
real
he'd be pretty happy.
Barrel of laughs here today.
I mean, he was smiling in the coach's team photo.
Right.
Yesterday.
He had a big smile on his face. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, it's just more of the same, really, from Belichick. He seems really angry answering these questions today. Part of the process, though, I suppose. It's so funny, though.
We kind of knew what you were going to get, which wasn't a lot.
It really is funny because we are so used to this. And as fans, we are so used to this that every time he talks, this is pretty much what you're going to get. But the reality is there are 32 coaches in the league, and they don't all do it this way. Like, there are plenty of guys. Like, I'm always taken back by coaches on opponents that when they start their post-game press conferences, they go up there and they go, all right, well, so-and-so, he has a concussion, and he's going to be dealing with that. So-and-so injured his ankle. You know, we're hopeful that he's going to be okay, but he didn't return because he has an ankle injury and this and this and this. All right, what else do you guys have? And then they get into it, and you have, like, a whole conversation. But he tries to keep things so, like, what does kind of drive me nuts at times, and I know it's not going to change, but is a question like that. Not that I think it was the best question in the world, but the guy goes, do you want Steven Guskowski back? And then his answer is, well, he's not back until he's under contract. Like, that's not the question. Like, you're not, like, he does that a lot where he says words that aren't answering that question, but then you're like, all right, well, do I follow up again? And some reporters try it. They ask 2-3 times. You still don't get an answer. And others just sort of look away like, all right, well, that's not what I asked, but okay, here you go.
There's nothing better. I'm sorry. Just when the in-between questions.
Yeah.
The long pregnant pauses.
And people are he's just staring around. He's just shimmering, looking. Yeah. And everyone, you could just tell, is like, oh, yeah. Okay, I guess I'll jump back. And like, did he have to be there for a certain amount of time? That's the one thing I'm wondering, because he's sitting there, and I'm like, or standing there, awkwardly, and he's like, how long is this going to last?
He could do that, though. I mean, again, you win this much, you could do whatever you want. And to me, it's very clear. He wins so he can do this. He doesn't do this, which leads to winning. Like, there are other ways you can win. This just happens to work for him. But if they never won, you wouldn't respect it, or you would look at it and say, what is this guy?
By the way, if Brian Flores did this, sitting at the Miami table right now, you'd say, come on, what are you doing?
Right, and like Patricia kind of did it a little bit last year. And
remember the reporter who have some respect for yourself.
It's like, why don't you have some respect for yourself? Why don't you win some games first? Right, like that's what you need to do. And that's what a lot of guys have talked about who say, you know, why does the Bill Belichick coaching tree, why does it not work? And a lot of those guys, not only do they might try to do things like Belichick when they are not, but the players don't view those guys the same way they view Belichick. Like, I thought Michael Bennett's quote was great, and it was from years ago. So I'm sure he feels like this way even more so. But when he was saying the difference between Greg Schiano and Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick is a legend. Greg Schiano just wants to be like Belichick. So the players can sniff that right out. And so Belichick can get away with anything he wants. He just count the rings.
Do you want to hear that Gronkowski cut?
Oh, sure.
From the horse's mouth?
Yeah,
yes, please.
So did you have any indication going into the offseason that it was likely Gronkowski was going to retire?
Yeah, offseason, so.
Off-season.
That's got to be a T-shirt.
Off-season's off-season.
The off-season's the off-season.
Off-season's off-season.
I mean, that has got to be a T-shirt.
I would assume that it will be. Barstool's probably already printing them out right now.
Yeah, off-season's off-season, so.
He's not wrong. Not wrong.
He doesn't play the game because he doesn't want to.
Apparently, Bill Belichick went up to Brian Flores, shook his hand, and said, quote, this is the fun part. Yeah, he's having a great time.
He is actually that guy, by the way, that coach, who would be very happy, if they could play in an empty stadium.
Oh, yeah, he'd have no problem with that.
No fans,
he's just
no
all about
media.
All about the game. Just about the game.
Let me play the game. Yeah. At the end of the game, I'll go shake that other guy's hands, and then we'll go to the locker room and get showered off. I don't need to talk to anybody.
Nope. Does not like any of that stuff. Doesn't care for it, but it's obviously a big part of it. And, you know, he does give the media stuff here and there, though, because he likes the history of the game, right? So why else would they give – he does give them more access than you might think based off of his questions. Like, I think some of that stuff – you know, they did a Football Life Bill Belichick. He was a part of the two Bills 30 for 30.
Yep.
So certain things, he has a lot of respect for NFL films. So that kind of stuff he will get in on. Some of the other stuff, though, like these things where it's just a bunch of media members asking about the offseason, you know, his roster is nowhere near complete. So it's these kind of things that kind of like, he has no use for.
Would it have killed him to say something nice about Gronk?
Nope.
Offseason's offseason.
It would not have killed him.
I mean, I sort of understand he's not going to say anything about Steven Gostkowski. Not under contract. I mean, maybe they've got a contract on. Maybe they don't. Okay, I get it. But Rob Gronkowski, as far as we know, is retired.
It's the second best player he has ever coached.
Here.
Well, with the Patriots.
Here,
Lawrence
right.
Taylor, again. Yeah. Yeah. Here, as a head yes. coach, even.
Yeah.
Even if you want to add, you know, his Brown's days. This is the second best player.
Well, Vinny Testaverde.
Third best player he has ever coached. And he just gives it the old offseason's the offseason. Because what's the harm in, hey, yeah, you know, we knew there was a chance that he could retire. We obviously would have liked him back, but that was his decision. Even something like that, how are you going to hold that against him? Like, what would you possibly say to that? Instead, you just drop the offseason's the offseason. No, either it was a surprise or it wasn't a surprise. Right? And, it's one of the two.
And take advantage of the opportunity to just say, you know, Rob's been one of the great Patriots. I was happy to coach him, proud to have him part of the team. Wish him well. Nope. The offseason's the offseason.
And then when he's asked about Brian Flores, he's like, well, I've been on record talking about him. All right, well, sorry, let me go back and bing it. Like, you're here right now. Like, you can't talk about Brian Flores right now? He's a head coach in the division. Can we get a comment on that? Nah, I've been very outspoken about that. Have you? Like, where? how many times have you talked about him?
I got Bill here asked about, you know, players coming in and adjusting.
Okay.
How challenging can it be for new guys, whether they're veterans or rookies, to come in and pick up everything you guys do offensively?
It'll depend on the player. I don't know. There are no games right now.
That's a good point. It is depending on the player. And there are no games right now. All this is right. Like, again, he tells you like it is. Now, he doesn't always answer the question, but it's going to be so weird. The next coach, whoever it is going to be so much more open than him. Even if it's slightly, it's going to be so much more.
If it was Eric Mangini, it would be open.
No, even McDaniels, because McDaniels won't be able to get away with the same stuff. And maybe he'll get frustrated by it, or they have to just get a hire from outside. And it's going to be like following a different sport, because that coach is going to say so much more than this coach does.
See, when the Patriots put out a statement after Rob announced his retirement, and Robert Kraft had a statement, and Bill Belichick had a statement and said nice things about Rob Gronkowski.
It did.
Why didn't he say it there?
I don't know.
Because I don't want to.
He doesn't want to.
I don't have to.
Yeah.
I think I've put out a statement about that.
Like, you would think that Belichick, because sometimes I feel like he does this when he's at the podium during the season. It's not really a number of questions quota. It's more of a time thing, right? Like, don't you think he goes up there and he talks for 10 minutes, whether there's 100 questions or two? And so sometimes he almost goes on these filibusters where he'll talk about the importance of backside blocking for 10 minutes or, you know, things that you didn't notice that Dwayne Allen did in the game or something that, you know, he'll talk about opposing teams, special teams forever. You would think an opportunity like this where maybe you're going to be asked about Robert Kraft. If somebody asks you about Gronk, why not spend 10 minutes on Gronk? Unless, do you think he's pissed off that he retired? Do you think that has any part of it?
I mean, if you believe the stories, he tried to trade him a year ago, so how mad could he be?
Well, I bet he was pissed off when he tried trading him.
Well, I mean, that's the story is, they were going to trade him last year. Rob basically did the power play. No, yeah. if I'm not playing here, if I'm not playing with Brady, I'm not playing. So they couldn't trade him.
So they must have been, they were obviously upset with him last year. The motocross thing and all of that. The only way he could really be upset with him is if he told him, yeah, I'm going to play. I'm definitely playing. And then a week later said, no, I'm not playing. Then he'd be like, well, why'd you even tell me that? Because we still don't know, and I'm waiting for somebody to have this report, what was the money negotiation or the contract negotiation? Was there one at all? Did Gronk want more money? Did the Pats want him to take less? Were they both okay with the money that was owed to him for this upcoming season? What went into all of that, and how much of this was, you know, 100% Gronk's decision? Did the Patriots sort of push him in one direction? I don't know.
It's March.
But that might be the only reason why he...
Wait a minute. It's March.
Well, yeah, for another week. I wonder if that had anything to do with why he had a short answer on... Because we've talked to him about some of his players in the past. That was more removed, But he has spoken. Yeah,
usually, once they retire, he's usually generally happy.
Pretty good.
I mean, he's spoken eloquently about Teddy Bruschi and Troy Brown, and I mean, maybe there's not enough separation space
Vince,
here.
Even Randy Moss didn't even end well with Randy Moss, and he goes on and on about Randy Moss. So I wonder how Belichick really feels about Gronk's retirement.
I do wonder that, because he was asked later on about the possibility, could they have kept Stephen Gostkowski? And he just goes, he's not under contract right now. Now, that I get. He's not under contract.
And that's probably a negotiation, too.
Gronk is retired.
Right. And he still won't talk about it. Yeah, I don't know. I bet he's got to be looking at it and saying a couple of things. One, we wish we had this decision a couple of weeks ago, because maybe they get Jared Cook at the very least.
Although,
right?
Although you think that they're so disciplined, if they had a number in their head, the fact that Gronk retired wouldn't have necessarily caused them to shift from that number, right?
No, but maybe the conversation starts earlier, because Jared Cook was one of the better tight ends that was a free agent. Actually, he was one of the better free agents, and he didn't get snapped up right away. So I don't know how soon he was talking to New Orleans, but maybe if you get in there ahead of time, you know, much like Adam Humphries, like they just seem to be kind of late on the Adam Humphries thing, and that was real early in the process.
I will give you some NFL news.
Okay.
Per one of the coaches who was sitting at the table who did say something.
All right.
Saints coach Sean Payton told the media there that the competition committee has agreed to a proposal that would allow coaches challenge on plays where offensive or defensive pass interference is not called.
Okay.
If this proposal passes, that would address the non-call similar to the one in the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game.
Off-season.
I think they do. I mean, they need to change that.
It would seem so. That one seemed so clear-cut.
Now, there's got to be penalties for getting that wrong, because it really should only be used for the egregious plays. You don't want to use it all the time, because anytime there's a play, it's 3rd and 15, Dale, and you chuck it up and there's a little bit of contact, I don't want the flag every single time for
right.
that. But if it's the game on the line and it is blatant, like everybody in the stadium can tell, I don't want it, because if you do super slow-mo, how many times does it look like, oh, actually there was a little bit of contact there? That's the one thing I'd be a little concerned with that rule change. But they need to do something to prevent what happened in the Rams-Saints game.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. Text line is 37937. Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30. We might, I'll stress might, have a special guest who could add something to our discussion.
Oh, this is looking up.
A little bit later on. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the godfather of Boston sports, Dale.
Dale, you are the greatest. I believe you are the godfather of WEEI, and it is a pleasure to me speaking to you.
And Keith.
Call to speak to the godfather, Dean.
Dale's, oh yeah, the godfather's here. Yeah,
sorry, yeah.
Oh,
sir.
Good. I have the right number.
Yeah.
On Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
617-779-7937. Two real world updates, just briefly.
Real world.
We don't do a lot of real world updates here, but we'll give you this
Real
one.
World Seattle was probably the best season.
That's
of that
a
show.
Good one.
Yeah.
So prosecutors in Chicago have dropped all charges against actor Jesse Smollett.
How the hell did that happen?
Dropped all charges. No comment from the Chicago police as yet.
Okay.
But the prosecutors have said, nope, free to go. Now, they also made him forfeit his $10,000 bail, which I don't get. If you drop all charges, there's nothing here. Why do you have to give up his $10,000?
A lot of these deals. A lot of deals. A lot of shady deals going on.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, I don't like that. But I don't, from following that, just kind of from the outside, I don't know how that works. Like, why would they drop all charges?
I don't know.
And I don't think he's going to be in a lot of movies and TV shows, though, going forward.
I got a feeling he might end up back on Empire.
You think so?
Because now they're going to say, hey, he said he was innocent. Look, they dropped all yeah, charges.
I'm sure everybody's going to welcome him back with open arms. Like, here he is, guys.
So the other real world update, and we talked about this very briefly yesterday, where Michael Avenatti, the attorney, the ambulance chaser, put out a tweet that he was going to have a huge press conference, you know, with breaking news that would shake Nike to its core.
Oh, my God.
40 minutes later, he got charged with extortion.
Whoops.
Because they had taped him, secretly taped him, trying to shake down the attorney for Nike for $20 million.
Yeah,
By the way, the other unindicted co-conspirator at this moment is Mark Garagos.
Oh, of course.
The attorney for Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
So today, because Michael Avenatti always doubles down, today he holds his press conference. And the earth-shattering news that he has to offer here is that DeAndre Ayton accusing his mother of allegedly taking cash payments from Nike before committing to Arizona. Wasn't that in an ESPN story about a year or so ago?
We knew all of that stuff forever ago.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, we got that.
Give that a bing if you would.
DeAndre Ayton, got it. He's not even there anymore, and we got it. We already know that story. Actually, here's the story. Every single good player has taken money. Every single one of them
has.
We could
pretty much throw a blanket over
Move
that whole
on.
Thing.
Yes, and that's like his big scoop. It's like, I'm going to really rip the lid off this. It's like, stop it. We've all seen blue chips. We all know that that's exactly what happens every time. You want a tractor, you got a tractor. You want a job, you got a job. You want a house, you got a house. Everybody does it.
So he gets arrested yesterday for extortion. He has to put up a $300,000 bond. And his earth-shattering news is something I read in ESPN, the magazine, a year ago.
Oh, yeah, forever ago. He's like, guys, you know DeAndre Ayton? I'm like, yeah, okay, stop right there. We know. We got it. Thank you. I think he said Bull Bull got some stuff, too. Manu Bull's kid.
Oh, no.
Bull Bull heads. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Bull Bull. Yep. He got in trouble, or at least he says he's got dirt on him.
By the way,
they all do. Every single coach and player. Come on.
In another shocking development, evidently the Ball family, LeVar and all those guys, are breaking with Big Baller Brand.
They are Big Baller Brand.
Not anymore.
How can you break from Big Baller Brand? Because I saw the story that Lonzo's manager, who's not LeVar,
throwing stuff in the trash.
Yeah, he's like burning his shoes. Like, what is going on? You knew something was up when Lonzo Ball played in his first summer league game, his rookie year, and he was wearing like Pumas or something. And like, well, hold on a
Wait
second.
A minute.
Aren't you the only guy who represents Big Baller Brand?
The only thing that would have been better is if Zion Williamson had shown up in Big Baller Brand
sneakers.
They should
have gone after him. There's a real chance to get him away from Nike after he busted those things open. Like those slides for like $250 or something insane.
The t-shirts were $38.
No, it was more than that.
The sweatshirts were $100.
You sure the t-shirt was only $38?
I remember I was here with you guys.
You're like, I bought three of them. Okay.
There was a kid who worked here I saw walking around with one.
Well, he's obviously pretty well-to-do. Good for
he's
him.
He's from Linfield.
Is that a rich town?
Yes. Also where The Rock is from right now.
Apparently.
That's right. All right. Well, yeah, so
so we had all this real-world update stuff we were able to trot out for you.
That's right. That's where you come for news,
because
right here.
You're looking for hard news.
We got it.
Damn it, we're the place.
Yep.
So evidently, and I haven't read this whole thing because I'm not an ESPN insider.
You should be, Dale. A lot of good stuff.
Well, somebody here is, thank God, because they were able to print it for me.
It's not me either.
So Buster Olney has written a piece in which, sounds like Little Richie Keefe might have written this.
I could have. He's like, I finally found someone to agree with me.
Why Boston's Chris Sale extension was a mistake.
Yeah, this is part of Buster's Buzz. For real. That that's really what they call it. No, for real. That's now. For real, I mean, what they call it. That's for real.
Gee, I'm sorry I didn't pay my money for the ESPN Insider.
That's for real
Insider.
What he calls it. Now, he talks about some of the same stuff that we did. He says how John Henry, you know, last month acknowledged how he made a mistake with John Lester back in 2015, which he absolutely did, but he lowballed him. I don't think the mistake was necessarily the idea of paying big money to pitchers in their 30s. This is Buster's Buzz, obviously.
Oh.
And so...
See, you're now the Rossi whisperer.
Yeah, I speak Rossi.
When Rossi drops some sound effect or song in for no apparent reason,
no, he's the best producer in the business, Dale, for a reason. And right there...
Off-season's off-season.
Good instincts. We're talking baseball, though, now, Rossi. Let's not go back to Belichick. Let's not get sidetracked. But a good buzz there. The real issue, I thought, with Lester wasn't paying a guy in his 30s, a starting pitcher in his 30s, a ton of money. It was, if you really wanted him, don't lowball him. He ended up getting more than double what they offered him. So, like, that's such a slap in the face.
Right.
And so I think that's a good lesson to learn, you know, when it comes to Mookie Betts or to Xander Bogaerts or some of those other guys. But he gets into some of the things that I've talked about as well, how... You know, the last 2 years, Chris Sale wasn't the same pitcher at the end of the year that he was at the beginning of the year. And that was at age 28 and 29. So I don't know how we can expect it to be a whole lot better going forward. And also, there's a long list of guys who get so much worse pretty quickly, too. And so Roy Halladay was one of them. He said he was the best pitcher in baseball in 2010. Less than 3 years later, in 2013, he was done. His ERA was close to 7. Clayton Kershaw, arguably the best regular season pitcher in history, this is Buster's words,
yeah,
and now has average fastball velocity below 90 some days, and for the fourth straight year, he's dealing with some physical issues. He goes, it's not a question of if there will be a breakdown with Sale, but when. That's the way it is with all pitchers.
He is channeling Rich Keefe
here. This is me, I'm telling you. He goes, anybody who's watched him pitch last October could see the red flags. So that's what I'm concerned with. And also, it's a 5-year deal on top of the year that he has. So you got him for 6 more seasons.
Yep.
And so I think it's too much. But I hadn't seen a lot of big-name baseball writers come right out and agree with me. And that's what, not that I really want to be on the same side of Buster only necessarily, but that's what we got. Buster's buzz. And I agree with him. You don't.
No. No, I wanted them to do this. Do we just have to hear this every time we bring up Buster's stuff?
How many good full seasons of Chris Sale do you expect out of the next 6?
10.
What?
It's maybe a little aggressive.
No, how many good seasons of Chris Sale do you think?
I think he'll be good for the next 3 to 4 years.
Chris Sale's got to be Chris Sale.
I agree with that, too. That's sort of like that's channeling Bill Belichick. So 3 to 4 years, then that would be worth it because that's what most of these contracts, like Manny Ramirez is one of the very few guys in the history.
Who was worth it right till the end.
The whole time. Yeah. I know it didn't end well here, but guess what? It was 7.5 years out of an 8-year deal, and then he was still good for that half season, just not here. Most guys break down by the end, especially pitchers. So you're right. If you get 4 out of that, great. I just wonder if it's going to be closer to 2 or 3, and then even in those 2 or 3, he's a house of fire the first half of the season. And he's starting in the All-Star game for maybe a fourth straight year. Like, I wouldn't rule that out. I think we're not going to know for sure if I'm right until August, September. And with the way this team is built, hopefully October. Like, when he's pitching there, and is he available to go? I think last year was pretty concerning to me to see what happened because they brought him back off the DL. He was throwing real low 90s. And they're like, no, he's going to be fine, he's going to be fine. He starts game 1 of the ALDS. Looked pretty good. You're saying, all right, here we go. Even pitches out of relief in that series. Next thing you know, ALCS, he pitches game 1. Can he go in game 5? Nope. World Series, pitches game 1. Can he go in game 5? Yes, but only for an inning. Like, so that to me, you know, David Price had to come. David Price is the guy starting game 2 and game 5 instead of your ace. So if that's what he's doing at 29, I have no idea what he's going to be doing at 34.
I'll say this, though, about Sale, and the reason why I'm okay with this is that I don't think that he has to rely on an overpowering fastball to be a very effective pitcher. His slider, his changeup are so outstanding anyway. I think he's already sort of begun the transition, you know, that some pitchers are able to do later on in their careers. I don't think he's going to go out there and have to throw 100 to be able to succeed every night.
No, but I do think that kind of, I mean, he was fantastic the first, 3 months of the season last year,
yes,
or whatever. And as Buster only points out, on August 12th, his fastball velocity was 97.6, And then on September 26th, so, you know, a month and a half later, it was 90.2. That is a big drop. And we've seen guys make the adjustment. You know, Pedro Martinez was still a really good pitcher even when he wasn't throwing absolute gas.
Yes.
He had to change. And that's going to be pretty telling, too. Like, does Chris Sale come out this April, and is he throwing 97, or is he throwing 92 and, you know, pitching more rather than just getting the ball and hucking it? And is that going to be more likely to be sustainable throughout the year?
All right, we get right back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at the bottom of the hour. It does not involve poop, but it is local.
Local.
Local madness is coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.